Portichel Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator Brad Besnan from UIN Trout Creek Schools. Mr. Besnan is just incredible. Everything he does is successful. His basketball team is always a winner, and the band and choir concerts are amazing. He is able to teach a whole class of elementary kids instruments, music, and they put on amazing concerts throughout the year. If you know an amazing educator like Brad, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Welcome back to segment two of Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke, and as always, we're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. You can learn more about them at phfgive.org. This program segment, as a matter of fact, kind of came to me through the Portage Health Foundation. It was a result of a workshop that I saw on the schedule a week and a half or so ago, and I thought, boy, this would make a great Copper Country Today topic. I don't know that I've ever really specifically addressed poverty in the Copper Country, because we don't really necessarily see poverty here in the Copper Country. You can go into major cities, you see slums, you see high crime areas, and poverty is kind of obvious and upfront. Here in the Copper Country, perhaps it's a little more subtle in terms of being noticeable, but certainly no less important and no less a problem than it is in other areas. So I welcome in Michael Stieber. He is the Copper Country Coordinator for Bridges, and welcome into the program, Mike.
Thanks, Todd. It's good to be here.
Explain what Bridges is.
So our Bridges Copper Country program is a poverty initiative that will help individuals that are struggling in poverty or to become stable, and it's also to educate our community and business leaders about what some of our folks in our community are going through. And as you were talking a little bit earlier, you know, poverty affects more people than we really know. About 19.5% of the Copper Country is considered at that level. And with our ALICE numbers, it's actually 49.5% of our community.
What is an ALICE level?
ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. So basically, those are folks that are working paycheck to paycheck. And if something happens in their life, they could struggle to make their next set of bills. So that's 49.5% of the Copper Country, which is quite large.
I have often thought that the federal definition of poverty is abysmally short of reality.
It really is. For a single person to be considered at the poverty level, you're making $13,500 a year, so that's drastically low.
And heaven knows, over the last 24 to 36 months, it has become much more difficult to live at that level. Rents have gone up. Groceries have gone up. It's tough to find an apartment in the Copper Country now that anybody at that level could afford.
Yeah, it's difficult. Rent has gone up. Childcare is a problem. If you want to rent a house for a family, they're very difficult to find. So yeah, those come into play quite drastically.
And it's a vicious cycle, because maybe I'm a single mom, got a couple of kids, I'm living paycheck to paycheck or worse, barely making ends meet, but I can't get childcare for the kids, because that's going to cost more than I'm making at my job, or as much as I'm making at my job, and I'm stuck.
Well, that's right. For a single mom, it's difficult to find childcare, number one.
Yes.
And if you do find childcare, it's a little bit expensive, and that mom has to weigh the cost of, is it beneficial for me to work when childcare is so expensive? And many times it's not. It's not worth working. So single moms with one or two kids sometimes are choosing just to stay home and try to survive that way, because childcare is so expensive, it's not worth it.
Yeah, my niece, who is not in poverty, my grandniece, she recently went through this situation where her job was being eliminated at work. And they live in the Chicago area, and certainly not in poverty. They're doing very well. But she looked at the numbers, and they have two kids, and she said, you know, I'm not sure that it's worth me going back to work, because virtually everything I'm bringing in is going right back out to cover childcare.
Yeah, that happens here in the Copper Country too.
And she's married, the husband has a good income, so it's not a critical situation for them. But for people here in the Copper Country, whether you're a single parent or even if you're married and husband has a low-income job, wife has a low-income job, it's still a challenge.
It is, and we have many families in our area that are dealing with those struggles right now. So that's why I'm excited to start our program called Bridges Copper Country, because we're providing some educational opportunities for our folks that are dealing with instability and that are under-resourced. And we're also educating our community leaders about what some of our constituents are struggling with to make ends meet. So we just finished our first Getting Ahead class, and we had a graduation Tuesday night. So we graduated 8 people from our very first initiative, which is called Getting Ahead.
Now explain what's involved in these Getting Ahead classes.
So the Getting Ahead class is for people that are at the 200% poverty level or below, and it's a 16-week class where we meet one night a week for 3 hours at a time. And basically what we do is we take a look at their life. We spend time taking a look at ourselves. So the beginning of the class, we take a look at our life, where we are now, and then we gradually come up with a plan of where we want to be and how we're going to get there, to put it in simple terms.
And how maybe you save money along the way, what resources might be available?
It's more than financial. You know, one thing, I think there's a perception that poverty is all about financial struggles. Well, that's a big part of it, but it's all of the resources that encompass someone's life that are low. And so what we do is we analyze all of our resources and our strengths and our weaknesses, and we come up with a plan to increase those resources. And part of the program, too, we also bring in community leaders and agencies that can help people, and we make those connections. We call that social capital. And through the process, we've made connections where many of our folks that are in a class, we call them investigators, have improved their life and made some connections to help them get ahead.
Now, what can local leaders do here? They don't necessarily control a lot of the things that are involved that create poverty or solve poverty. A lot of that comes from Lansing or Washington. What role can our local leaders, city level, county level, play?
Well, we've been providing some Bridges workshops, and so they can come to a workshop. We have one June 6th coming up. Registration is closed for that, but we'll have another one in the future. They can come to get a little educated about what some things that they can do within their business or their institution. Policy makers come into play. They have a big impact on how they can help folks that are dealing with poverty get out.
Why do we reach out to our people who are in those positions that maybe have a little bit more say over how this works? Our policymakers in Lansing, for example, setting state budget priorities.
Yeah, sometimes I think that's going to be at a next level when we get to the state and the federal policies to try to make some changes there. But locally and within our business community, I know there are things that we can do to take a look at our businesses and try to help some of our folks that are struggling to eliminate some of those barriers. And that's the focus of the workshops, is to try to identify some of those barriers.
Talking with Michael Stieber, he is Bridges Copper Country Coordinator, and we're talking about poverty in the Copper Country. You mentioned basically half of the Copper Country is living paycheck to paycheck, one step away from financial disaster.
Yeah, the statistics are quite staggering. It's 49.5% of the Copper Country.
I'm going to call that half. I'm going to round that up
yeah,
to
50%.
I look sometimes when I'm at the grocery store and I see a young mom or a young dad and a couple of kids and this cart full of groceries, and it comes up to $200, $250 worth of groceries and diapers and other essentials. And I'm thinking, man, I'm glad I'm not raising kids right now. That's tough.
Yeah, it's not easy to provide for a family. I mean, if you're a single mom and you work in a job and you've got 2 or 3 kids to feed, it's expensive. It's very expensive.
So suppose I was a single dad. Well,
sure.
Go with that over single mom, because I'm not a mom, obviously. Suppose I was a single dad and I have a couple of kids and I'm trying to keep on the job and I'm trying to, you know, get them into school and that kind of thing. What kind of opportunities are out there for me to get assistance? How would you counsel me, and what would you offer as some hope?
Well, one of the things that I would offer you is to apply for our Getting Ahead class. So like I said, we just finished one in actually last week, and we had our graduation Tuesday night.
What would I learn in the class?
You would have time to take a look at your life, sit down.
Would I have time? because I got these two kids. I got my job. I don't have any time.
Well, you know what? That's a good point. So what we do with our program is we try to eliminate all those barriers. So for a class, we offer free childcare. We offer free transportation. If you have your own vehicle, we provide some transportation finances. And we also offer a $25 Pat's food card every single time that you show up to class. And we provide a hot dinner for that night for everybody involved. So we do our best to eliminate all those barriers so that you can get to class and spend some time for the first time in a long time, maybe in your whole life, to take a look at your life and come up with a comprehensive plan where you can become more stable.
What kind of things are going to be included in my plan?
Well, it'll all come down to you. It's really not a class that's taught. It's basically a class where we work together and, we sit down and we analyze our life, where we are now, what's our housing situation look like, who's living with us, what's our income, what's our debt. And then we also go through, what are the resources that are out there in our community, and also bring in many leaders from our community to talk about what is there for folks that are struggling, because there are many things that can be offered or assistance that we just don't know about. And then the final result is we analyze our resources, and then we come up with a plan of improvement, a SMART goal we come up with, and we try to develop what we call a future story.
Are there specific things that kind of pop up rather consistently that somebody listening to the program right now might say, hey, I can't take the class right now, but maybe I should look at this or should look at that and I could get some immediate help?
Well, yeah, I think it's the class is for people that are sick and tired of being sick and tired and they just want to make a change in their life. If they're not at that stage of their life, the class probably won't benefit them, because really, I don't do much teaching. All we do is facilitate the program, and they just spend time taking a look at their own life and coming up with a plan.
You're going to have to be willing to leave your comfort zone on a few things. You're going to have to be willing maybe to ask for help if you're not comfortable doing it. You're going to have to change some of your habits and behaviors. There's going to have to be a willingness to do these things, I would guess.
You need to be at a stage in your life where you want to make a change. And yeah, sometimes that's going to mean severing a relationship. It's going to mean changing the way you live your life. It's also going to mean maybe becoming uncomfortable and applying for some new positions that may help you get ahead. So you have to be at a stage in your life where you are ready to make some changes.
Are there people, I guess the answer is self-obvious, but are there people who are simply not willing to make those changes? They're content to live in poverty and paycheck to paycheck and take their chances?
Well, I think that's pretty sort of common in generational poverty, over two lifetimes. And I don't know if it's, nobody wants to be in poverty. I think they just don't know that there's a way to get out of poverty. And so that's what we're trying to provide, is some education and a hand up, not a handout, but maybe some support where they can say, wow, I didn't even know this was available to me. So we had a class of 8 investigators, we call them, and it was pretty amazing to see the transformation. Of the 8 folks that took our class, we have 4 of them that have applied for college. And I'd say 6 of them have either got a new job or a pay increase or have become more stable with their situation.
How do you know that this is going to stick? I mean, I can go to a Make My Life Better class and I can go out pumping my fist in the air going, rah, 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 I'm going to be a different person. And 6 weeks later or 2 months later, and I've hit a couple of roadblocks and all of a sudden I'm knocked back down to where I was. How do you follow through if you do that to make sure that these people are still supported and still on track?
Well, that's a great point. And you're right. We know that not everybody's going to grab onto some of these concepts, but we do know that they'll have been provided the tools to help them become more stable. And maybe they may not grab onto those tools right away, but they'll have that information for their future and they can use those tools anytime in their life. One of the things that we're also going to do is we're going to follow them throughout the rest of their time and keep in touch. And one of the classes that we're offering in August is we'll have our second Getting Ahead class, but we're also offering a class called Money Matters. So those folks that graduated Tuesday night, they all will be taking a class called Money Matters. And that's a 16-week class where we'll be working on financial resources and help them become more financially stable.
Do we do a good enough job of teaching all of our young people that in school?
Well, I was an educator for 33 years, and I know that schools work very hard at trying to provide that information. Now, are you always listening to that when you're a young lad or a young lady? I don't know. But yeah. I do know that schools work very hard at trying to provide that for folks before they graduate.
Yeah, because when you're 18 or 19, you don't necessarily understand the power of compound interest right. In terms of putting a little away for the future. You don't necessarily understand that there's going to come a time when your income is not your income. Right. It's the income that goes to your family and your kids.
That's right.
And you make some unwise decisions about which direction your pathway is going to go. You mentioned generational poverty.
Yes.
A couple of minutes ago. How many people who are in poverty now are there basically because that's what they saw from their parents and their grandparents?
Well, that's a good question. I would say most. Most people, when we look at the statistics for the, like say Houghton County, for example, I think the poverty rate is 16.9%. And I'd say that the majority of those folks are in generational poverty. Situational poverty is a little bit different. So that's when maybe somebody loses their job for a period of time. Maybe like my dad used to work at the White Pine Mine. When we would go on strike, those are times when you struggle. Maybe you're going through a divorce or something. That is a situational kind of poverty. Generational has been going on for a long time, and I'd say the majority of people that are dealing with that are struggling to find a way to get out.
Because there is this viewpoint in some quarters that there are people who are really happy with this. I'm going to take the government handout. I'm just going to live. I'm not going to work. I'm going to be lazy. I can do whatever I want to. And the government's going to support me, and they're going to pay money for my kids, and my kids are going to get lunches at school. And eventually, even if they want to go to college, because I'm so darn poor, they're going to get a scholarship. Why should I work?
I think that that's a common misperception. Anybody that's in poverty does not want to be in poverty. And many folks in poverty are hardworking people. So that's one of the things that we want to change is that perception that all people in poverty are lazy and they just don't want to work and they just pull up their bootstraps, they'll be fine. It's not the case. And I think what we're trying to do with our program is we're trying to give them resources and connections and provide some hope that there are ways you can better your life.
Because I think you mentioned something else that is a misconception, and that is that basically anybody who's poor can just, if they buckle down to it, it's the American dream. You know, so-and-so did it, and so-and-so did it, and they started with nothing, and they're millionaires now. If they can do it, you can do it, and so get off your lazy butt and get at it.
Yeah, and it's a complicated problem to solve. I mean, there's many people that are working a job and they're in poverty. They've got a family of two or three kids, and they're getting assistance, public assistance. But if they take a raise, they lose that public assistance. So
yeah.
They can't even take a raise.
Yeah, it's a catch 22.
We kind of call it like the welfare trap. And there's folks that are in the middle of that too, where you know they can't even accept a raise because it's gonna provide them. They're going to subtract from what they're making. They're going to become more unstable.
And it's one thing to look at them and be critical. It's another thing to be in that situation and have those mouths to feed and say, I can't afford to move forward in my life right now.
Yeah, I think there's too many of us in our society that, you know, we can't even fathom what it's like, but I think we need to be more empathetic and understand that there's a lot of good people that are struggling to meet ends. And I think it's our duty as a community to try to help all people so it can be a win-win situation for everybody.
And I think that there are people we can acknowledge that have made mistakes in their lives. Maybe they had a child at an age that was too early, should have used a little birth control. Maybe they got married a little bit too early, other problems such as that. They should not be, I think there are some people who kind of think almost those folks should, they're paying for it now. They should pay for that mistake.
Yeah, and I think that that's a common misperception that poverty is all about individual choices. And yeah, some of those choices do come into play, and those circumstances do affect you. But there's other things. There's what our community has to offer. It has to do with policies. It has to do with some of the exploitation that goes on for folks that are in the middle of poverty. So all those things come into play and make it difficult for folks to get out of generational poverty.
Exploitation. Explain.
Well, that's kind of difficult to explain, but it's just as an example, like if you're working with a bank and you overdraft some money, well, as a consequence, then they charge you more money.
Yeah.
Or if you can't get a bank loan or to go get a car, you go to some of these different places and they charge you 29% interest to buy a car.
Oh, some of those places are just atrocious.
Well, if it seems like it's too good to be true, it's not a good place for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet sometimes there's no choice. The buy here, pay here.
That's exactly right.
Car lot, that kind of thing with the exorbitant interest in the car that's not going to last to the end of the loan.
Yeah.
And under any circumstances anyway. So they're trapped in. You've got the only place you can do is go back and re-up with them. There are people who take advantage of this.
Yeah, and we call that exploitation, and that's part of it. So that's part of the class, too. We talk about how you need to be aware that there are people that in our organizations that will take advantage of you, and you have to find a way to stay away from that.
Talking with Michael Stieber, he is the Bridges Copper Country Coordinator. We are talking about poverty in the Keweenaw. How does this level of poverty, and particularly that 50% living paycheck to paycheck, how does that drag down an entire community?
Well, that's a great question, Todd. You know, I think if you think of it just the opposite, if more and more people are gainfully employed, making more money, how does that not benefit our community and all the businesses? And of course, you got the drain on the system. You know, if folks are on the welfare system, that costs all of us money. So if we can help more people have a better life, it's just going to make for a stronger economy in our community.
Small businesses in the area, a lot of our companies are designated as small businesses. How can they step up to help in this kind of a situation?
Well, I think that's for them to take a look at their own organization or their own business and just see, is there something that I can do? Can I offer something? Can I provide something? Can I be a little bit more empathetic about what someone's going through? I guess that's for them to take a look and not for me to say. But one thing that I want to do with some of our workshops is just provide information about what folks in poverty are going through. And so we can become a little bit more empathetic and not have that view that are just lazy people that don't want to work. That's not the case. Some people, yeah, but not the majority. Nobody wants to be in poverty.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of our small business owners in this area, they're not particularly well-heeled either. There's a misconception that if you own a business, you're pretty darn wealthy.
Right.
Not necessarily the case. You may be living pretty much hand-to-mouth as well, and you're responsible for these people on their payroll. You'd love to pay them more, but you can't. But maybe there are at least some ways of mitigating this with some flexibility with hours and things of that nature.
Yeah, and you're right. There's many businesses that are working their tail off, and you wouldn't consider them to be wealthy organizations. And so I don't want to get that confused, but I do know that there's things that we can learn by just learning what some of our folks in our community are going through.
So you have another one of these series of classes coming up in the late summer.
Yes.
Tell me about that and how people can get involved.
So we're looking for people to apply for our second class, and they can apply at www.bridgescoppercountry.org. It's a simple online application process, and we'll be starting that second class, we're looking at August 10th, I believe.
What are the requirements to get in?
Well, the requirements are you have to be at the 200% poverty level. You have to be, let's see, I got it right here. You have to be in a major crisis or being struggling. You got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you got to be in the four counties: Houghton, Keweenaw, Barraga, and Ontonagon. And you have to be at least six months sober. If you have a problem with addiction, you need to be at least 6 months sober before we can take a look at you.
How big a role does addiction play in poverty here?
It's one of the components that can cause poverty and keep people in poverty. That's a fact, that for sure.
Yeah, because then you have trouble holding a job. If you're addicted to certain things, you have to come up with money to pay for the certain things, whether that be alcohol or drugs or something like that. And all of a sudden, that money is diverted away from what you should be using it for. And we've learned, certainly on this program over the last several years, that we're taking a much different view of addiction now than we did even 5 or 6 years ago. We understand the chemical nature of it. And it's not just somebody being, you know, making bad choices and being lazy and enjoying being addicted. It's a whole different thing. So,
So
that's an important component of this, I would think.
It is. And so, you know, if folks are going through those struggles, we just need them to overcome them by at least 6 months, and then we know that they'll be able to benefit from taking or getting ahead class.
Well, we have to wrap it up. Michael Stieber, thank you for coming in. Again, the website is bridgescoppercountry.org. Go to it, learn more about the options, and maybe you can pull yourself out of poverty with some help as well. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Todd.